the HTB podcast. Subscribe now so you don't miss future episodes.
Hello, this is Adrian Bridden. I work at Sutton Bridge Crop Storage Research for AHDB, and we're particularly interested in potato storage. Today we're going to talk about maleic hydrazide. Now, maleic hydrazide is a plant growth regulator. It's been around for quite a long time, some 40 or 50 years, and it's applied to many crops. So it has many uses, and at Sutton Bridge, we're just finding out now just how good maleic hydrazide can be. Right now, we've become particularly interested in maleic hydrazide just recently because of the loss of CIPC. So up until last year, we had four active substances available to us for storage. So they were CIPC, maleic hydrazide, mint oil, and ethylene. And of those, we've now just got three. And I don't think many people would argue with me that we lost in CIPC, we lost the most important one or the most effective one. Right, so today we're going to talk about maleic hydrazide, and we're going to do that with Andrew Webster. Andrew grows and stores mainly potatoes for crisping, but let's let Andrew tell us a bit more about himself.
Hello, I'm up in Ormsgate, Lancashire. We're growing like crisping potatoes. We're farming around about 78 hectares of potatoes. Main varieties being, like in the past, it's been Shelford, Lady Rosetta, Lady Claire, them sort of varieties. This next year, a bit of a change. VRO 808 again, which will be in the big stores. Pyrrol is going in another store with Lady Alicia this year, drew a bit of a trial last year. Some Lady Rosetta and Lady Claire. Bulk. Well, we've three bulk stores, two stores at 850 to 900 ton, one store at 425, and then with a box store, 210 ton. It's a mixture of land. We have peat soils, and we go on the mineral land as well. VR 808 stored at about 7.5°C. The Shelford used to be stored 9 to 11 degrees, depending on fry colours, etc. And Lady Rosetta was always finished before Christmas, and we never stored them down to less than about 12 degrees, just to keep them about right. So that's what we are and where we are at in storage-wise.
So in terms of storage temperature, that's pretty warm. So for sprout control, therefore, things need to be pretty effective. Now, as I mentioned, maleic hydrazide is a plant growth regulator that's been around for a long time, and we've become particularly interested in it, well, mostly because of the loss of CIPC. So while maleic hydrazide was initially introduced for volunteer control, we now actually have very different expectations from it. So, Andrew, can you tell us why exactly you were using MH? So I think you've been using it for a few years now, and maybe has your demands of MH, have they changed?
We've been using MH now for 8-9 years, something like that. We first started storing, it was a backup to CIPC, but some of the main things is, some of the people we rent land off, they were saying, we want you to use MH in the potatoes, because one of the biggest issues we've got around here is we grow a lot of vegetables. We're losing chemistry on them. So volunteers is a big issue in the following crops. So that is one big issue for us. Like I say, the storage was another. Can we keep them spuds, them potatoes right? Also, what we were getting on some of the more organic soils was an extra kick of tubers. When you got the right rainfall, like we do in Lancashire, then you got the temperatures. You got a kick of nitrogen, and the plant would set another set of tubers. So when it sets that set of tubers, it's like a secondary set. So that's why we started using MH as well, to stop that second kick. If we got it and it was applied, they didn't mature, because they would be different dry matter content, and they would also be a different fry colour. So what we want is we're aiming for that specific market for crisping, and if anything upset that, it eliminated it. So the MH was one of the main things for that, and it's getting that correct plant yield of potatoes and the right specification that is crucial for us. So that's it. On the volunteer side, one of the big things we've seen is if we can reduce the volunteers the year after, PCN control. So that's another plus on the side. So it's all a tool to manage for cropping in the future.
Yes, that's interesting, isn't it? Because if we read the old labels for maleic hydrazide, they were about volunteer control. And maybe you could get a bit of sprout suppression in store. And that's what maleic hydrazide was used for originally. But now, what we see now with a loss of CIPC is actually, if we look at things in detail, we can see that maleic hydrazide, as well as those volunteer control characteristics, maleic hydrazide is also giving us, in some occasions, is actually giving us very good control in store, so definitely reducing the inputs of other products. But we're also seeing control of second growth, we're seeing control of internal sprouting. So actually all round, it is a pretty useful product. And I think even when we see some of the newer products coming along, I think we will still see a use for maleic hydrazide because of these properties of controlling secondary growth and volunteers. Okay, so when is the right time then to apply maleic hydrazide?
The right time? When the tubers are above 20, well, the smallest tuber you want for your yield, it's got to be bigger than 25 millimetre in size. So if you've got a nice run, say, for example, the potato planters put 12 potatoes out and they're all in that size, and you think, well, it's not going to sustain that amount, and we can apply it once, like anything below 25 millimetre will stop growing. The right time is, say, mid-flowering. But some of the crucial thing, canopy has to be actively healthy and growing. It's no good putting it to a crop that is dying back. And it's got to be put on between 3 and 7 weeks prior to desiccation. And if you can get all those right, getting that chemical, the MH, going through the system and into the tubers. But one of the crucial things is 2018, temperatures have got to, you've no higher daytime temperature than 26 degrees, because that plant will start shutting down. We managed to get it on in 18 just right, but we ended up waiting for that. So that's when I aim to get it on, is actively growing 3 to 7 weeks before desiccation, nearer the 7 if we can, and then tubers above 25 millimetre.
Yes, you make a good point there. So it isn't just about measuring the size of the tubers that you want to harvest. It's also the quality of the canopy. So maleic hydrazide is applied as a solution to the leaves. And from there, it has to get into the leaf, into the phloem, and then is transported down to the tubers. So it has to be applied to a plant that is working. So as Andrew says, temperature must be right, water status must be right. It mustn't be a stressed plant. It must be working properly. So, and what are some of the other lookouts then that people should be aware of?
I think the most crucial one is no rain 24 hours after. And we always say up here, as soon as we mention the word MH, say MH, we're going to apply MH, it starts raining. But that is the most crucial thing that I think is right, because it's absorbed very slowly into the plant. So that's one thing. That's one of the main criteria that we're looking for. 24 hours of dryness after. Other things we've got to watch out for, put it on its own. There's nothing for tank mixing it. It's, some people say they do, I won't. It's an application on its own. Water rate, the labels are, Crown is 300 to 600 litres, Phaser 300 to 500. We got 400 litres a hectare. And that's another criteria. You want to get that plant covered, so you've got a nice spray canopy, nice lot of spray over that canopy of that crop, so it can get in and get translocated into the plant, and so it can get through to them tubers. And as I said, day temperatures no higher than 26 degrees.
That's right. So when we carry out an application of MH, what we want to do is to keep the product, the maleic hydrazide, wants to remain in solution, in droplets on the leaf. It doesn't want to be drying out very quickly, because that makes it then unavailable to the plant. So application in large volumes of water under coolish conditions are ideal. Right, so you've carried out your application, you've lifted the crop, you've put it into store. Does the crop get treated any differently if it has MH residues in it? Does it change your potato store management?
I wouldn't say it has. When we're putting CIPC on, we use this as another tool in the armory for sprout control. While labeled, it says we stop weight reduction, stops from dehydrating. With storing at a higher temperature, we're always very vigilant of sprouting in stores. So we do keep a very close eye on them. I wouldn't say it alters them very, our management of them very much. No, it's like it's another option to keep them spuds in good condition.
Okay, so if we look at the chemistry of it, so maleic hydrazide is like CIPC was. Maleic hydrazide is unusual. So again, it's a non-volatile product, and at Sutton Bridge we see that's a big advantage. So the newer products that are coming along, so mint oil currently, hopefully this coming year we'll have DMN. So these products are more volatile, and if you're using ambient ventilation, they will be lost more quickly from the store. So in that situation, you will go from a position of having sprout control with these volatile products to a position where sprout control may be reduced as the active is lost from the store. Right, well, when that happens, if they're MH treated, you will maintain sprout control by virtue of having the MH. So it is a big advantage, and certainly at Sutton Bridge our results show if we have an MH residue on crops, it makes their storage certainly easier, and also with a good residue of MH, a lot cheaper in terms of subsequent inputs. Right, thank you very much, Andrew. We will be organising a webinar on the 15th of June that will consider in even more detail the role of maleic hydrazide, and we'll also be speaking with an approval holder for Phasor. If you would like to attend this webinar, please visit the AHDB website. So on behalf of AHDB, I'd like to thank Andrew for his contribution. Thank you.